Welcome back to Proclaiming the One. Pastor Clint Poppy, Pastor John Schmidt, and now joining us, completing Latin class here at our school, is Vicar Albert Bader. Welcome back, Vicar.
Hello.
We are, we're about halfway through our gospel reading from Luke 17, 11 to 19. Many people are familiar with this as it is read often on Thanksgiving. It is the not the parable, but the true historical account of the miraculous healing of the 10 lepers. So we talked some about leprosy in general. We talked about some of the context here. And the lepers were required by law to shout out unclean, unclean, so people did not make themselves ceremonially. Say that three times fast, unclean, and Jesus should have avoided them. But they cry out instead, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We're not sure at this point in time how much the 10 lepers believe, but they do acknowledge Jesus as a miracle worker. They go to him for help. They go to him for mercy. Don't give us what we deserve, which is to be cut off from God. We can say one thing, they knew where to go. They knew to go to Jesus. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, Pastor, you touched on this just a little bit in our last segment, and I want to flesh this out. And I know you and Vicar were talking about this a little bit during our break as well. What is the significance of Jesus telling them, go and show yourselves to the priest?
They have several chapters in Leviticus and one chapter in Numbers, I think, also, that deals with this idea of uncleanness and what had to be done in order to declare someone fit to be back in the temple, on the temple grounds. And so there were various sacrifices and so forth that all had to be done. And there was, you were unclean for so long, and then you know, whatever the problem was, if you touched a dead body or whatever, there were specific things for leprosy as well.
Now, some of this was just simply for common sense. Yeah. If you touched a dead body, you may have contracted some sort of a disease that caused the person to be dead, or that you would get from a corpse that is rotting in the sunshine. There are certain sicknesses, illnesses, diseases that are contagious. And so there's a certain common sense medical thing. The people of God have been separated from the nations. God wants to keep and preserve them. He wants them to be alive. But the theological import is really what we're talking about here. And whatever the spot or blemish was that the people had signified that they were far away from God. And the only way, correct me if I'm wrong here, the only way they could be restored to full fellowship in the temple, whatever that meant for them, whether they were a female or a Gentile or whatever, the only way they could be restored to their full fellowship in the temple was to have a priest declare them clean. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. And the idea here, like you say, to restore fellowship, because the Pharisees, the Pharisees always considered shepherds unclean. Shepherds are out in the fields, and they might come across some dead carcass of some animal. They're instantly unclean, but it didn't stop the shepherds from owning large flocks.
Well,
and then getting somebody else to be the one who took care of them and got unclean.
I've watched enough old cowboy and Indian movies on the Western Channel that, there's no use for shepherds, not in cattle country. But we digress.
Well, the idea of Pharisee, though, the very name itself meant separate from. That they were separate from everybody else. They were the ones closest to God. Every mother wanted her son to grow up to be a Pharisee because he was closer to God than anybody else. That was And the Pharisees only go back about a century and a half before the time of Jesus.
And very similar to the idea with monasteries at the time of Luther, you're separated from the world, you're closer to God, that kind of a thing. So that's what the go show yourself to the priests are. Go show the priests and be declared clean. And as they went, they were cleansed. And as they went, they were cleansed. We've looked at several different miracles, miraculous healings of Jesus during this long green season. And sometimes Jesus speaks a word, and only a word. Sometimes Jesus gives a direction, like here, go and do this. That's the word. Sometimes Jesus does like an object lesson or whatever. He puts his hands in the dirt. He makes mud with his spit. Sometimes he'll take his fingers and touch the person or whatever. So there is no specific pattern that Jesus does with regard to his miraculous healings, with the exception of he always speaks. He always speaks some kind of a word. And as they went, they were cleansed. Pastor, a comment on that from you with regard to go show yourselves to the priest, and as they went, they were cleansed. Was it their obedience to Jesus' command that healed them? Was this some mumbo-jumbo hocus-pocus of Jesus? What's actually happening here?
Well, they are cleansed. The word for cleansed there is this being clean of what you would consider clean. In other words, the leprosy then is gotten rid of. And yet at the end, when Jesus speaks to the one who comes back to him, he says, your faith has made you well. And there it's the word sozo, which means saved, yes, but it also means this wholeness and completeness of what God originally intended man's existence to be, that he's not only physically well, but in relationship with God.
So are we to take from that only one of the nine was saved? Only one of the nine had saving faith? There are some that would say that Jesus never does a miracle for someone unless they have saving faith. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but I've heard pastors wax eloquent on that. How would you respond if someone wants to start a philosophical debate about how many of the 10 actually had saving faith?
My biggest response would be, we simply don't know. They indicate a willingness to go and do what Jesus said. That's good. And maybe if they view him as just some miracle worker that God has sent, okay, then they're doing what this miracle worker said to do. They don't use the word Lord, like I said before. They're using this word that kind of indicates a certain uncertainty about who Jesus is. In other words, how much is he God, or how close to God is he? We don't know. But we do seem to think he's got some ability to do something, and it's going to benefit us, so we'll ask him for help.
And anybody with leprosy on a very basic level would want to be healed so that they could be with their family, they could be with their community. Of course, worship God, but they've been cut off and separated from everyone. And so this restoration would be desirable, whether you had faith or not. Vicar, I'm going to ask you a question here. I'm going to put you on the spot.
All right.
Nine, well, they all went as if they're going to show themselves to the priest. We don't know if they actually do or not. Maybe they skipped that part and went to their families or whatever. Oh, yeah, we don't know. Maybe they went. Maybe they figured this was their lucky day. Maybe they went to the casinos over in Council Bluffs, Iowa, or bought a lottery ticket. You know, we hope they went to the priest. We hope that they were declared. But we do know the details about the one. The one turned back. Praising God with a loud voice, he fell at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Did this one obey Jesus or disobey Jesus when Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priests?
Oh, man, back me into a corner. Well, if we're just going to go by what the text says, it never explicitly states that he made it all the way to the priest.
Okay.
But
it said he turned back, so I think we can safely assume he didn't.
He didn't, yeah. So, but he was going to the priest in order to be declared clean. Well, the one that has made him clean, he decided to run back and flee to him to give him thanks and praise to his face, because this is the one who has truly declared him to be clean. And this man is, you know, especially interesting because he's a Samaritan, as we had in our reading last week, you know, the parable of the Good Samaritan. These were people who were hated by the Jews. And yet this guy goes back to give thanks and praise to God, that is Jesus Christ, who himself was a Jew, knowing that through him he was made well.
Pastor, I'm going to ask the same question of you. And Vicar did pretty good. Vicar did pretty good. But I think there's one little key component here that's missing. In what, I'm going to ask you a more direct way. In what way did Jesus, Samaritan leper who was clean, in what way did he keep Jesus' words perfectly when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest? By coming back and showing himself to Jesus.
Yeah, I was going to say, he falls down at Jesus' feet, and it says that he worships God. He recognizes, at the very least, Jesus is the instrument through whom God is healing.
He goes back to the true chief priest, Jesus
Christ. He does. That's what I was fishing for. That's what I was fishing for. He acknowledges, whether he actually says the words or not, he acknowledges that the true high priest that we read about again and again and again in the book of Hebrews, he acknowledges that the true high priest is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, God among them, God coming to them to save. And so in a sense, this Samaritan who had leprosy, who is now healed, we don't have to worry about, is the temple in Jerusalem the right place to worship, or is the temple in Mount Gerizim the right place to worship? Because the temple of God is now standing in their midst in the name and in the person of Jesus Christ. Is that fair, Pastor?
Oh, that's very, very good. I've always wondered if when Jesus responds then, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? If he says that so that the other nine hear it.
Well, it could be.
Because this Samaritan whom they were maybe in some sort of reluctant fellowship with when they were sick, now suddenly they're not going to want anything to do with him. And Jesus is pointing out, this guy has a better grasp of what's going on than the rest of you.
And that ties us directly back to your comments on Psalm 84, verse 9. I would rather be a doorkeeper. I'd rather be outside looking in, barred from even going in the temple. I'd rather be than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Jesus praises this foreigner's faith, teaching us, well, which is a good thing because we're all Gentiles, teaching us that God's salvation is not dependent upon ethnicity, whether you were born a Jew or whether you're born a German Lutheran. God's forgiveness in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is real. It is for you. He has made you clean by his holy, precious blood. He has washed you with the water of holy baptism. You are holy because God says so. Thanks be to God. We need to take a break. Don't change that dial. This is Proclaiming the One. We'll be right back.